Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's the first Sunday in February, and I want to thank you once again for joining with us today on our online service and also via our telephone line service as well. Not meeting together is very, very frustrating, but I am thankful that we are able to turn our attention towards God and to worship Him together in spirit, even though we are apart physically. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been exploring lament as a way of dealing with our frustrations, a way of dealing with our pain and our suffering. And today we're going to bring that little series to an end, hopefully leaving you equipped to face pain and suffering in a way that will draw you closer to God and increase your knowledge of God. The aim of these services is that we learn how to worship God through lament, and we discover that lament is not a negative experience, but instead it's a very positive aspect to our lives that will indeed draw us closer to God. So today we're going to look at another psalm together, this time Psalm 13. And we come to the fourth part of our lament. We began by turning to God. Then we saw how we could honestly cry out to God. Last week we were looking at asking boldly of God what we want Him to do. And today we're going to learn how we can trust in God, because that should be the aim of every lament that passes our lips. That we don't just want to cry out, that we don't just want to complain, but we want to get to that place where we can trust in God. Psalm 13 ends with a wonderful declaration of trust. And that's what's going to guide us in our worship today. Verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 13. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to sing to the Lord. We're going to declare our trust in Him, that throughout the pain and the suffering and all that worries us, we're coming to God and we're trusting in Him. We're going to read Psalm 13 together now, and it's going to be read to us today by Eleanor Orr. And after we read the psalm, Eileen is going to lead us in praise, "All to Jesus I Surrender."
How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me.
I wonder, do you remember where this little series of lament started? It began whenever I was dissatisfied by the forms of protest that were available to me as a Christian. I wasn't sure how to cope properly whenever facing trouble and hardship. And I was trying to help people through pain and suffering at times. And I want it more than just saying to people, well, trust in God and everything will be okay. Because that is not the case on many situations. Came to a head last year after two events. One was the introduction of abortion in Northern Ireland. And the second was the racial injustice, which focused around the death of George Floyd and led to the publicity for Black Lives Matter. Many of the forms of protest that I saw on the news didn't seem to offer much hope. And I knew that trusting in a compassionate God who came to save people from their sins, there must be another way for us to act. And this is where lament comes in. And having received messages and also from talking to many of you, you seem to have the same thought about lament that I did in the beginning. We thought that lament was just another word for crying. And there was no point just crying about what was happening. We needed something to do about what was happening to us. But hopefully over the last 3 weeks, and especially today, we'll realize that lament, although it does involve a lot of crying, crying out to God honestly about what is going on, it's also much more than just crying. And today we're going to see that it leads us to trusting in God more. So before we get to that today, let's recap a little as to the journey we've come on over these past few weeks. So over 4 weeks, we've been exploring what to do whenever the storm clouds gather. And we began by turning to God. That's the first step in lament. There's no point just lamenting out into the world. We have to turn to God as we begin to lament. Secondly, then, we honestly cry out to God. We tell God what it is that's bothering us. We tell him about the injustices that we see. We tell him about the things that are annoying us and causing us hurt and pain. Then, last week, we looked at asking boldly to come to God and ask him what it is we want him to do. We know that he is all-powerful and he can do anything, so we ask boldly of God, even though we may think at times that this is too much to ask, we still ask boldly. And then today we're going to see how all of that leads us to trust in God and to trust deeper in him and grow to know him more as well. About a third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Some of them are personal laments from the psalmist. Some of them are corporate laments for the whole nation to join in together. And you can sit down with this little plan of these four words and you can work your way through any Psalm of lament. Now, sometimes it's not just quite as neat as 1, 2, 3, 4, all following on from each other. Sometimes the parts overlap, sometimes they are repeated. But usually all four stages are there in a psalm of lament. So lament isn't just a simple pattern to plug every psalm into, but it is there to help us understand. Interestingly, most of the time, whenever we have a psalm of lament, we're not told the background to that psalm. We're not told what it was that caused the psalmist to cry out in lament. And that can be frustrating at times, but it can also be very, very helpful for us. Because nearly every lament can be used in every situation. They work for law changes in abortion, and they work for racial justice on a worldwide level, but they also work on a personal basis. When I'm downcast and I don't feel like facing the day, or someone has said something hurtful to me, or I wish I'd spoken out whenever I'd kept silent, or I'm facing an illness with very little hope of recovery, or I'm watching someone else face an illness, the laments are there to help us. These laments help us put into words the deep feelings of our souls that otherwise we might struggle to verbalize. And because they're not tied to one particular situation, then we can use them freely in our own situations. So where does lament lead us to? Well, today, where lament should lead us is to trust in God. It's very easy, you see, to get stuck in steps 1, 2, or 3. Some people initially turn to God and then they give up when they don't find him immediately. Some people get stuck on step 2 and they simply cry out to God all the time, reciting what's wrong over and over and over again. Some people are stuck on step 3. They just keep asking God to do things and never move beyond that. But lament should lead us to this final stage of trust in God. We need to choose to trust God. Now, please be aware that one lament will not solve every problem that you have ever encountered in your life. That's not how pain and suffering works in my experience in life. Life just isn't that simple. A lament is not a magic spell that we recite and all of a sudden everything is perfect. Lament is something that we will return to again and again. Lament is something that God can use to keep us trusting in him. Lament is how we endure. Lament is how we trust. Lament is how we wait. Remember at the beginning of the year, we were thinking about now and not yet. Rebecca Eklund puts it like this. The prayer of lament rejoices in God's saving actions in the now and hopes urgently for God's saving actions in the future, the not yet, of a God's lifeline. Those who lament stand on the boundary between the old age and the new, and the hope for things unseen. So that's where we are with lament. We rejoice that God is saving us now, but we also hope for the not yet, the saving actions in the future. And lament enables us to find a pathway through our pain, and it helps us to focus on the trustworthiness of God. And we keep trusting by lamenting. Today then we're going to look together at Psalm 13. It's a short psalm that enables us to trust in God. And step 1 of our plan of lament is to turn to God. And that's what we find the psalmist doing. He has written this prayer to God. And therefore, in speaking this prayer, he has taken that first step of turning to God and seeking God. In step 2, he honestly cries out to God. 4 times in the opening couple of verses, he asks this question, "How long, O Lord?" And I'm not sure that he's expecting an exact answer here. It's not that he's asking God how long and God's going to reply 2 weeks or in a year's time or whatever it happens to be. He's saying, Lord, is this going to go on for much longer? How long is this going on for? I don't think I can bear much more of this, Lord. Lord, I'm at the end of all that I can endure. How long am I going to experience this? Lord, you have to realize where my limits are, and I'm reaching them rapidly day by day. And so in those first couple of verses, the psalmist says, how long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Maybe these words resonate with you today. We use that how long question in our prayer for others today. Maybe you're wrestling with your thoughts. Do you have sorrow in your heart today? Do you feel defeated? How long, O Lord, is your honest cry to God? How long is this going to go on for, Lord? But then the psalmist, in this very short prayer, very quickly moves on to the next stage of asking boldly what he wants of the Lord. We see it then in verses 3 and 4, where he asks boldly what he wants God to do. Look on me and answer, he asks, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foe will rejoice when I fall. So he's simply coming to God with this request, look on me and answer, Lord. Give light to my eyes, Lord. He wants to be able to see clearly what God is doing. He wants to be able to see through the problems that are there before him. You're probably spotting the pattern as you read the psalm. But also we should be able to follow the pattern in our own prayers now. And turn to God. And then honestly cry out to him. And then ask him boldly. And then the lament leads the psalmist to put his trust in God. And any prayer of lament that we utter should lead us to do the same. Now, this is not a simple little formula, 6 verses and everything is all right. I cannot stress that often enough in these psalms. This is a very short psalm, so the psalmist gets to this point very, very quickly. There have just been 4 verses, and now in verse 5, he's declaring his trust in God. But sometimes the lament needs to come many times before we get to this stage. And even as the psalmist gets to verse 5, the problems are still there. They haven't miraculously disappeared. But the psalmist has found a way to trust in God despite the problem still being there. Verse 5 begins with a very important word. It begins with the word but. We saw how yet can be used in one of the previous psalms. However, is also a very common transition at this point in a psalm of lament. And it's almost as if the psalmist is saying, Lord, I know all this is happening, and I don't like it, and I don't understand it, and I don't think it's fair, but I am going to trust in you despite what I see around me. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Mark Vogrop puts it like this: trust is believing what you know to be true, even though the facts of suffering might call that belief into question. We know who God is. We know that we can trust him, but sometimes the circumstances around us, the pain and the suffering, make us doubt that for a moment. But we're still to come and trust in God. And if you look at these last couple of verses, there are 3 statements of trust here. And we're going to look at them in a little bit more detail throughout the week in our Bible study beside the burn. But the psalmist begins, first of all, by saying, I have trusted in your unfailing love. The psalmist doesn't just finish by saying, I know that you're a God of love. Because fair enough, he does know that. But he's taking action. He's doing something about it. He's saying, I am trusting in your love. And he's not just saying that God loves him. He's saying that it's a special kind of love. It is unfailing love. This love does not give up. This love does not come today and then go tomorrow. This love is there constantly. It's an eternal love, unfailing. It can be trusted in because it has no beginning and no end and will never give up on us. We can trust in God today. Then secondly, he trusts because of salvation. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Lament, you see, should always bring us to the cross. Last week we saw that in the Psalm 22 that our Lord used on the cross. And we were thinking about his suffering for us and how when we suffer, he has been before us and he has suffered much more than we will ever suffer. And here again, we're being pointed towards salvation. And although this is in the Old Testament, we're looking forward to salvation in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. And so as we lament and we trust in the cross. We trust what Jesus has done for us in suffering and dying on that cross, in taking our sin upon himself and offering us forgiveness. Things may not be going how we want them to go at the moment, but we can trust in Jesus because he offers us salvation full and free from the cross. If you think that lament sounds too simple, if you think that lament doesn't really work, that there's nothing at the end of it, that it's just a few words, maybe you haven't been to the cross. And it's only whenever you go to the cross and rejoice in salvation that laments will make more sense. And then thirdly, the psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. He's not saying, I'm going to trust in the Lord because I hope that all of this turns round and that one day I'll know God's blessing. It's in the past tense. I'm going to trust now because God has been good to me in the past. He's lamenting. He's crying out about his enemies. He's crying out about having troubled thoughts and great sorrow in his heart. But he's trusting in God because God has been good to him. And because he's been good to him, he will continue to be good to him. We began our service by singing, God moves in a mysterious way. Here are some points to note from that hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, we sang, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep in the sea and rides upon the storm. God is here with us in the midst of the storm and he will not let us go. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. We've been thinking about the storm clouds gathering week by week. And yet we see that whenever we dread those storm clouds, they're going to break with God's mercy. His blessing is going to be poured out upon our heads. The next verse of the hymn says, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Trust him. He works in mysterious ways. Trust him. He can be relied upon. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. What we go through now may indeed be bitter, but God has promised that one day there will be a wonderful consummation, a glorification whenever we go to be with him. We've talked a lot in lament about crying out to God and then asking boldly. What happens if we ask for the wrong thing? After all, God can do anything, so therefore we should be able to ask him to do anything. What happens if we ask him for the wrong things in lament? Well, J.I. Packer has some very helpful words, and I want to finish with these today. He says, God fixes our prayers on the way up. If he does not answer the prayer we made, he will answer the prayer we should have made. This is all anyone needs to know. In lament, we might not get every word exactly right, but we come with honesty to God, and he will take our prayers and change them on the way up, so that by the time they reach his throne, they are the prayers that we should have made, and we can therefore trust him to answer those prayers today. So let's worship him and let's bow before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we trust in you today. We trust in your unfailing love. We trust in your salvation. We trust in you because you have been good to us. And therefore, Lord, we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to do that, first of all, through the metrical version of Psalm 13. Sometimes it's very difficult to get a good recording of a metrical version of the psalm, but this week we have a metrical version. So let's worship God using this psalm together. Thank you. What a lament as we cry out to God and then we learn to trust in Him and rely upon Him. Let's come to God now in prayer together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we come declaring our trust in you. We trust in you, Lord, because of your unfailing love. We come, Lord, because you have loved us and you have shown us that love through all that you have done by coming to this earth. You too suffered. And then you were killed on the cross for our sins. But Lord, we thank you that that is not the end of the story. And we are able to trust in you today because you rose from the dead. You rose with victory, Lord. Victory over death. Victory over sin. And therefore, we trust in your unfailing love today. And we rejoice in the salvation that you have purchased us through your death and resurrection. And therefore today, Lord, we sing of your praise. We praise your holy name. We glorify you that you are the Almighty and the Everlasting. But Lord, as we bow before you and we praise your name, we recognize our own sin. And therefore, Lord, we come before you asking for forgiveness today. We recognize that you are perfect and we are sinful. We need your grace, Lord. We ask that you would come and you would take away our sin and that you would make us new and make us right, Lord. We don't come, Lord, with our own version of righteousness today, but we come trusting in you and your righteousness offered to us on the cross. So, Lord, we worship. We glorify your name. And we ask, Lord, that you would be at the center of everything that we do together today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second item of praise today is God moves in a mysterious way. This is a wonderful hymn, and I'm going to be referring to it at the end of the sermon today. It's a hymn that reminds us that God has a plan, no matter what goes on in our lives. No matter how bad things may be, no matter if things aren't going the way that we expect them to go, God has a plan for us, and he knows what he's doing. And throughout it all, he never forsakes us, and he never forgets about us. Then after we sing this hymn together, Eileen is going to play a medley of two pieces, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and Blessed Assurance. And these little pieces that Eileen is playing for us, they are there to help us, lead us through this lament, that we declare that God is faithful and that he can be trusted and that we have this great assurance in him, even though things may not be what we expect them to be. So let's worship God together.
To perform, he plans his good.
We're going to come to God in prayer once again, bringing a prayer of lament as we pray for others. And then as we end our prayer, Eileen is going to play another couple of pieces for us. This time, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, and just as I am. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, like the psalmist, we find ourselves crying out, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget us forever? How long, O Lord, until this pandemic is over? How long, O Lord, until everyone is vaccinated? How long, O Lord, until we are able to meet together again? How long, O Lord, do we wrestle with the sorrow in our hearts? How long, O Lord, will we have to cope in isolation? How long, O Lord, until your kingdom comes? Lord, many are saying to us, where is your God? Many have said that there is no point in following you. Many have said that you have abandoned us. But Lord, we trust today in your unfailing love. Our hearts rejoice in your salvation. And therefore, Lord, we praise you because you have been good to us. Lord, we do not know how we could have survived without you during these past months. We do not know how we can carry on without you, Lord, because you have created this world and you have saved this world. And so we declare our faith in you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us now from your word. We thank you for lament. We thank you for this Psalm 13. And we ask now, Lord, that where each one of us are at this time, we would know your Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and you would guide us in all we do. Amen. And now we're going to worship God singing, Father, I place into your hands. Now we pray at the end of our service this prayer of blessing. Today, may you place your trust in the Lord God Almighty. May you rejoice in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may you know the ever-present Holy Spirit. Amen.